This morning's reading from God's Word is found in the book of 2 Peter. We'll be reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. If you're utilizing your pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1896. Follow along as we listen to a reading from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. May God bless the reading of his word. Last week we began a new series titled The Path of Prayer. We're looking at what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is found in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Listen to the words of our Lord Jesus. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Pray then in this manner: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." In this prayer, Jesus speaks of 6 different petitions or requests to be made to God. The first 3 are focused heavenward and are definitely directed towards the Lord. The last 3 are focused upon our needs. Listen to all 6 requests. "Thy name to be hallowed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us daily bread and give us forgiveness. Give us deliverance," to be the last one. Last week we looked at praying, "Hallowed be thy name," and we found that when we hallow God's name, we allow our lives to be set apart for God's use. Remember with me that to make something hallowed is to set it apart as to be holy or to be used by the Holy One. And so when we allow God's name to be hallowed in our lives, we allow our lives to be set apart for God's use, since we all, as believers, come under the name of God, for we all are God's children. You and I, we all carry the name of God as being part of God's family, and thus we all represent God, and we represent His name. So to truly hallow God's name is to lift his name above all else in our lives. And we hallow his name when we praise, and we hallow his name and when we serve. We hallow God's name when our lives are ordered by the Lord's principles and precepts. This will always result in our praise for him. As we found last week, prayer truly is the path to praise. This morning we will be looking at the next two parts of this prayer, which too are directed toward God. And these two requests are that God's kingdom would come and that God's will would be done. My hope is that this morning we all will find that prayer is the path to purpose. And yes, when we pray these next two phrases, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done," we are praying for God's purposes to be done. It is true, God does have a purpose. He does have a will for this world, and one aspect of it is for his kingdom to be ushered in. When Jesus was here on this earth, he was ushering in God's kingdom. The scriptures attest that as Jesus did many miracles, he did healings, and he taught that many believed in him. This is the first way God's kingdom comes to earth, through conversion. This is our first purpose while we are here on earth, to share the gospel in all that we do. God's kingdom has come and will come fully in fruition when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, returns. But for now, the presence of God's kingdom is internal in you and in me, in your heart and my heart, in your mind and my mind, in all of us, in all the other believers who belong to Jesus Christ, who is the King. So in this phrase, Jesus is instructing us to pray evangelistically. Did you hear that? I wonder if that's sinking in. Jesus is telling us that if we truly want his kingdom to come, we need to pray in an evangelistic and missionary manner. You see, it's in that way in which God's kingdom truly does come to earth, as God draws people to himself. My question is, when is the last time you and I have prayed for those outside of the Christian faith? Typically, we don't, if we're brutally honest. Typically, that doesn't even enter into our prayer time. Typically, it's all about us and what we want and what we feel we need. Typically, we get angered and irritated by those outside the Christian faith, and we tend to separate from them. And yet here, Jesus is saying to pray for people to come to faith by conversion and to belief in the Son of God, who is Jesus. To pray for them to repent from their sins. To pray for people to have a willing response when they hear the truth of the gospel. Friends, this is ushering in God's kingdom. When others come to faith in Christ and to receive him as their Lord and Savior, God's kingdom is coming to earth. We cannot be satisfied in our prayers with others coming to faith in Christ, however. We must realize that this small phrase consists of the commitment as well as the conversion. And commitment is required for all who profess belief in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This commitment is a strong desire to all and for all who come to Christ to respond, to accept the rule of the Lord in their lives. And this then will be the norm. For when believers accept God's rule in their lives here on earth, it will be the same as God rules them in heaven. You see, God does want his kingdom to come here, and he has given you and me the opportunity to be a part of this ushering in of his kingdom. God wants others to experience the free gift of salvation, the free gift of his grace, and the free gift of his mercy. God wants you and me to partner with him through prayer. He wants others to be part of his family. And sometimes we button things up and we just hunker down and we don't think what it means for us to pray for those who have yet to receive Christ as their Savior. Friends, this truly is purpose. This is true purpose. And so we could say when Jesus instructed you and me to pray in this manner, we should pray for the number of believers in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to increase. That the family of God will abound more and more. And I'll put it this way, that the family of God in Gibsonburg would grow. That the family of God in the region of this northeastern United States would increase. That the family of God around the world would increase. Friends, this is what Jesus is asking you and me to pray. He's praying and asking for you and me to pray for God's kingdom to come. And in this sense, it is praying for the salvation of souls. And friends, prayer is the path to purpose. This is why personally it irks me when people get a certain age or they don't believe that they can be any age and they believe they don't have anything to offer. And yet Jesus is saying, pray, pray. Pray for those who are outside the kingdom of God. Pray that God's kingdom would be ushered in the conversions of those who have yet to receive Him. Pray, pray, pray is the message Jesus is saying. Think about it. What if you and I pray and God moves and brings others to Himself? Think about the reverse. What if you and I fail to pray? What then? I'll tell you personally that if I was on the outside of God's family and I knew that I might not even know, but if it depended upon someone else praying for me, I would certainly want others to be praying that God would woo me to Himself. I'll tell you, in my family, there were several who were praying for someone to go into full-time ministry, and this is the very true fact of the matter. I didn't even know these individuals. They had passed on years before I was even born. And I heard the stories of what would have been my great-great-great-great-grandmother who prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for someone to go into ministry. And I have to wonder sometimes, not to elevate myself, but I have to wonder that sometimes we won't see God answer our prayers. But where is our passion? Where is our purpose? Are we praying? Are we beckoning unto the Lord to draw people to Himself? Individuals in my family, they prayed and God answered their prayers. Who in your life needs Jesus? Who in your life needs salvation? The man at the gas station, the woman at work, a member of your family? Do they need Christ? Friends, there's no shortage of people who need Jesus. And all we have to do is to look around as we go through life to open our eyes and ask God that we would see souls instead of seeing people. When I was working in the business industry, I would pray for God to send people to me so I could minister to them. You know what would happen? God would send those people to me, and I would have the wonderful privilege and opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. Friends, don't focus upon or say, I can't lead anyone to Christ, because you're right, I can't either. The Scriptures tell us that unless the Spirit draws a person to the Father, they will not come, and so you nor I can ever lead someone to Christ. But we pray. We pray, and we pray. It is God drawing people to Himself. But God wants us to be a part of His kingdom coming to earth. What an amazing thought that is. What an absolute phenomenal privilege that is. What an opportunity. What an honor to partner with God, to pray for those who need Jesus. Second phrase in this verse, verse 10 out of the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus speaks of is for us to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's almost as if Jesus is moving in a decrescendo fashion or getting smaller and more particular in the particulars of how we should pray. First, He instructs for us all to lift up God's name, to keep it hallowed, or to allow it to remain holy. He instructs for us to pray for His kingdom to come by praying for others to come to salvation. And now, friends, Jesus instructs for us to pray for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. The very fact that Jesus instructs us to pray such a prayer indicates that we live in a world where God's will is not always done on earth. Things happen. Things take place, which is not God's will. Every time someone's neglected, abused, we can surely know this is truly is not God's will. I want you all to please hear that. The bad things that take place, this is not God's will. It is never God's will for us to suffer loss, and it is certainly not God's will for our lives to lack peace. And this is where we pray. Lord, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Each time you and I offer assistance, each time we pray for someone, each time we walk through life with another person during a difficult stretch, you and I are allowing God's will to be done here on earth. Friends, this is purpose, but it's costly. It will cost you and me something. It will cost us our time, our wants, our desires. But if we are not willing to pray this to our God, who is Jesus, then maybe we should be willing to partner with the Lord in bringing to fruition His will in this world. And I challenge all of us that if we are not ready or willing to partner with Jesus on being a part of God's will being done, then maybe we need to echo Amy Carmichael's prayer. And she says, "And shall I pray to change my will, my Father, until it accords with yours? But no, Lord, no, that shall never be. Rather, I pray to you to blend my human will with yours." You see, too often we pray for God's will to become our desires and wants, and yet we pray the Lord's Prayer. We're really asking God to bring about His will, which is harmony and peace and the Garden of Eden type stuff, where people walk with God each day. God's will is even for people to come to faith or salvation in Christ, as we read in 2 Peter. Yet we sometimes say these prayers with the thought of, "I hope God does such and such, but I hope it doesn't cost me anything." And friends, if that's the case, we need to change our prayers. We need to stop praying the Lord's Prayer, and yes, I said that, until you and I are willing to partner with Christ in bringing about His kingdom and doing His will here on this earth. You see, when we pray in faith, in conformity to God's will, our prayer is a sanctifying grace that changes you and me. It changes our lives dramatically. Prayer is a means of making you and me more holy. John Hanna said it best. He said, "The end of prayer is not so much tangible answers as a deepening life of dependency. The call to prayer is a call to love, submission, and obedience. It's the avenue of sweet, intimate, and intense fellowship of the soul with the infinite Creator." I close with this. Friends, this is Jesus' message to you and to me today. It's not about being busier or doing more things. It's about making sure our hearts are aligned with God's heart. And what this means is that we want what God wants in this life. We are hurt by what hurts God. We rejoice in those things which God rejoices. This is true prayer. This is true fellowship. This is truly walking with God. And when you and I, when we get there, we will be walking in unison with the Lord. And we will experience purpose like we have never known. And so what are we to do? I'm going to give you two things that we need to do. And the first, we need to pray. We need to change our prayers and pray for the lost. We need to pray for those outside the family of God. We need to pray for those hurting. We need to pray for God's kingdom to come. We need to pray for all the characteristics of God's kingdom to be here. The peace, the strength, the comfort, the assurance, the love. Friends, we have to pray for such things. We must call out to God, and we must cry out to the Lord for things such as this. The second thing that we must do is we must check our hearts to see if you and I are willing to be a part of God's will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. If we are not, then we must check our hearts. We must allow God to change us. I challenge all of us here this morning to place all we are before God, before the Lord Jesus. And if God's will is to ever be done here on earth, then you and I must be willing to participate with what He wants done. Place what is in your heart And what is holding you back from being a part of doing God's will before Him this morning? Let us all remember that prayer is the path to purpose. Not any purpose, God's purpose. As we close, I invite anyone who needs prayer or would like to meet with the Lord at the altar here this morning to come. And I would be more than happy to pray with you. There are others that would be more than happy to pray with you as well. As we enclose in prayer, let us look to the living Lord. Let us look to the risen Christ, the risen Savior Jesus. And may we all begin to pray as He instructed us truly to pray. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly God, I thank You, Lord, for this word. I thank You for Your truth. Jesus, I thank You for Your passion for the lost. For You Yourself came to say that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, allow us not to become self-righteous or to be stuck in our own way of thinking. Challenge us all. May You allow Your truth to sink into our soul. The truth about Your prayer, Jesus. We pray it every Sunday and we thank You, O Christ. We thank You, O Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You for Your salvation. We thank You for the wonderful opportunity to partner with You by praying for the lost, by praying for the hurting, by praying for the grieving, by praying for those things that You would pray for, O Christ. We rejoice with You, Jesus, for those things that You rejoice in, and we praise You, O God, for doing the wonderful things You have done. May You just change us. Change our prayers. May we begin to see souls instead of people. May we begin to see those individuals in desperate need of the internal transformation of grace. May we truly pray as You want us to pray. To truly pray that Your kingdom would come and that Your will would be done. May we partner in prayer. And may we partner in those things that You call us to take part in. And may we pray as You taught us to pray. In the wonderful, in the holy, and the gracious name of Christ our King, we pray. Amen.